Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts, send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. Hey, Stacy, have you ever spread human remains or ashes before?
That's an interesting question. I don't think I have. Everybody that I've ever known that's passed away, they've only been just buried, but never cremated.
Well, it's a good thing you're not like spreading pinkies out or over the river or something. But ashes are something you got to be careful with because they're ashes. They're very light. And when you mix them with things like alcohol and an unruly family and a beach and wind, well, things can go horribly wrong.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
My. Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. You should have pressed subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Just do that right now, really quick. Just put on your phone, boom, subscribe. You're not going to miss it. New episodes right now every Monday and Wednesday here of My Crazy Family. We do greatly appreciate that. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts, too. Helps us exist and let people know that we exist in the algorithms there of Apple Podcasts. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, it's another crazy episode. We keep ratcheting up the bar of crazy. And I like that because I came from a crazy family. So it helps me to hear that, hey, I'm not alone in this. My family was just off the wall in so many regards. And it's comforting. Comforting to know that I wasn't the only one.
So I was just going to say, does it make you feel a little bit better? You know,
it does.
Because it's like you think like yours is the craziest and you're like, well, it's not semen pancakes and shootouts.
Oh, I still can't get that out of my head. And it bothers me to the point where I have looked at my food twice before taking a bite.
It's a good thing your significant other's reaction wasn't like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Wait a minute. If you don't know what we're talking about, you have to go back to the last podcast and take a listen because your life will never be the same.
I guess my question on that I didn't ask on the last episode about the man who made semen pancakes for his wife and really got off on her eating them is, did he just, you know, aren't you going to have any, honey? No, I'm just going to have the bacon. Is that how he did it for his whole marriage? It's just like, I'm good.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, did he make separate pancakes for her? I mean, usually when you mix the stuff up, it's all in one bowl and then you just spoon it out of there.
Why do you have two batches of batter? Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I suppose if you're not really paying attention and you're not the one who makes pancakes, you really wouldn't know, especially if they got up a little bit earlier than you. Cause I'm guessing she wasn't like sitting on the counter eating grapes. He's like, hang on, let me get the semen out. And can you measure out about 2 tablespoons of semen for me and just bring it over? I'm thinking he's getting that in there before she noticed. Go ahead.
What kind of sicko are you if you're eating your own? I mean, that's...
Oh, that's
a problem.
I wonder if he did that or if he's just like, I'm not a pancake person. Aware.
That's your first warning sign right there.
Be aware, ladies.
Like pancakes.
If your significant other is not a pancake person, there may be a reason. And if he thoroughly enjoys you eating pancakes, there may be a reason. Now everybody's going to be so many people like second guessing their weekend.
Those pancake breakfast things that you go to as fundraisers, they'll never be the same.
Well, you got to think too, and this is an interesting thought. Typically restaurant situations, let's say you're going to the wherever for brunch on Sunday or Saturday or something. Do restaurants typically have the lowest of the rung working on breakfast cookery? Because it's a place you can learn a lot. It's kind of like the starting point for a lot of cooks and chefs as they're kind of trying to work their way up in a public setting. So you start there. So you also at that point have a lot of kind of entry level folks that may not, you know, be so serious about getting into the culinary field, but more so about jerking off in your waffle. So you got to look at Belgian waffles too. Anything where, you know, I've questioned, not that I thought semen was in it, but I've questioned the sanitariness of hotel pancakes before. Where, you know, you eat
the ones where you go down into the lobby kind of area and you make them yourself.
You press like it's like in a nacho cheese pump, but it's pancake batter. And then you do that and then you pour it onto the thing and then it makes you a pancake or a waffle. I've had some of those where I'm like, don't use the batter. Like I smell it and it's like this has been out. My thought is usually it's just been out or been, you know, not refrigerated properly for days. But I don't know. Now I'm going to have a second thought on that.
You and me both.
Is this something that's just hasn't been refrigerated correctly, or do I smell semen?
Or has it been sitting under the sink for a year?
I think you'll have more of that, honestly, in a lot of La Quintas than you will someone jerking off in the pancake batter. But you never know. You just never know. So I'm happy that we can plant that little bit of pancake. I guess the word would be now breakfast insecurity. In the lives of our listeners.
Oh, and please forgive me. I am not laughing at this woman. My heart, just to be betrayed by your husband in such a way. And again, if you don't know what we're talking about, you really need to go listen to the last podcast because it's stunning, but it's, this woman, nobody else in the world will betray her more than what her husband did. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
I think this will be a new psychological term that's going to be added to the DSM, breakfast insecurity.
Yep.
And also a much easier
way. I think we all have it.
A much easier way now to describe what's going on to your friends and family without saying he jizzed in the batter. It's like, what's going on? She's suffering from breakfast insecurity. Oh, yeah. Let's get her some melons. Oh, don't get the melon balls though. That's going to be traumatizing. The melon ball
going to trigger her.
It's got to be cubes or squares. Don't make it get like two melon balls and a sausage on the plate.
Oh God, Tony. Step away from the kitchen, Tony.
Breakfast insecurity. It's a real thing. We'll talk about it today on Maury. Yeah. So let's go to our first story of the day. And by the way, you can write in or call in your story. Website, crazyfampod.com. You can write your story right in there. Little box to send it all through anonymously, completely. And a phone number. Call again anonymously. We're not going to call you back. You don't need to leave your name. Call 833-CRAYFAM, 833-CRAYFAM. In numerals, it's 833-272-9326. What do we got?
All right. My cousin was a member of the Aryan Brotherhood in Houston. like you have in your family.
Yeah.
One day, one of his gang buddies tells him that he has some business near where his family in Florida lives. If he comes and helps him, they can spend a few days there for him to see his mom and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're near Bay County and they're stopped at a red light. When the man my cousin was with notified the people in the car ahead of them a lane over, that there was a person that he was out to get. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a confusing story here, but so my friend opens fire in the middle of the street and the other car takes off. A few blocks into a sparsely populated residential area, the car my cousin is in pulls a pit maneuver successfully. As both cars empty, my cousin realizes the guy they are there for is a long-term friend of his.
Oh God. What?
So he shoots the guy he is with twice in the chest, then leaves with the people that they were originally trying to kill. He did 3 years for the crime. The story continues. Fast forward to roughly 1.5 years after getting out of prison, he is hiding in various backwoods places in the Florida panhandle. His old gang wants to come and get his badges or flags or whatever it was he called them. This means that they're coming to cut the gang tattoos off of him. So they're basically trying to remove any identification that he's part of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he finds out his mom is living with this redneck in a trailer on an unowned land deep in nowhere. And she offers him to stay with her until the Social Security check comes in and he can get out of state. So he and his mom and this guy have a great old time drinking, popping pills, smoking meth. 3 weeks later, he gets his hands on a gallon Ziploc bag full of OxyContin and MS-Contin. He goes off the deep end and sniffs a large amount of shit, then drives home to party some more. Soon after getting home, it's obvious he is OD'd. He is pale, sweating profusely, even in his car with the AC turned on. He sits in the trailer, which is probably about 100 degrees without air conditioning, and starts shaking and complaining of being cold while drifting in and out of consciousness. He finally falls down. His lips and face begin to turn blue. His mother sits in the chair across from him and argues that if they call 911, it'll be expensive. And he dies.
I think
she called 911 an hour after he died. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was an EMT. It is expensive.
It is. It's enough to make you think twice and go, is this something I need to do, or can I get this person there? Or, I mean, you're not like thinking like, is this person's life worth the money? It's more like, is there an alternative method that may not be so detrimental to our finances? Because, right. Yeah, if you know,
if somebody is in cardiac arrest, you fucking call 911. Yeah. You need all that equipment that's in the med. You need all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you know, shit, I just, you know, I have a 2-inch gash in my arm. I'm not bleeding to death. We can get in the car and drive to the ER,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But the guy was dying. He drug overdosed.
Yeah.
Good God. Okay, continues on. We're not done yet.
Oh, kids. Yay. But wait, there's more.
My grandmother grew up on a farm in Florida. It was a real one-room shack with no panes of glass in the windows, a dirt floor. His father was from Alabama. They had a nicer farm there. Apparently, my great-grandfather killed his neighbor after he shot his dog. What the fuck is going on?
Nice guy.
So they left everything in a hurry and then moved to Florida. They only had the Alabama farm for a relatively short period of time. For most of his youth, my great-grandfather was a traveling farmhand due to the Dust Bowl and the Depression. So these were not people used to being rooted in any place as it was. One of the crazier stories my grandmother has is when she was around 12, she was the only female, and the boys, other than one, were super fucking assholes. Yeah, I figured that. Yeah. My grandmother and one of her brothers got into a fight over something. She can't quite remember what they were fighting about. So he leaves. About 10 minutes later, he returns with a can of kerosene. He splashes it on my grandmother and sets her on fire.
Oh my God.
My grandmother spends weeks recovering, and to this day, she's now 80. Mm-hmm. She still has scars on most of her mid-torso. She was bedridden, and her brother decided to teach him a lesson. He spent about a week trapping water moccasins. Now, you know what those are, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay. He gets his brother super drunk from some moonshine that he had saved for that Saturday night, like you do. He was out cold in bed. The good brother pulled him out of bed and dumped him into the box he'd been filling with the snakes. He throws some water on him to wake him up and then proceeds to laugh at him while he's freaking out in the box. Great-grandfather turned the switch on them so hard that they bore scars until they died. I have so many of these types of stories in my family. It's depressing as it is entertaining.
You know, I ask the question quite frequently on our show, True Crime Today, as well as on the Ghost Show as well. Is society getting worse with time and what people are capable of doing to one another? Or is it more so just we have information and we literally hear these sort of stories from every nook and cranny of the country, and then the worst rise to the top? And in the past, you would just kind of hear about what was immediately in your vicinity. With some of these historical stories or stories that go 50 to 100 years back, I think people were just as fucking crazy back then and were willing to do just more resourceful, I guess, in what they were able to do. Today, it's easier to go get a gun or a samurai sword or whatever the fuck you're going to get to commit your crimes. Back then, they had to go do a little more crafting. It wasn't as easy just to go get the gun or the sword. You had to go get a box of snakes. And I got to say, you know, good job on the creativity, on the cruel creativity, because that's something I don't think a lot of people would go through the effort of doing today to get back at somebody.
And water moccasins, they're horrifically venomous, aren't they?
Kill. I'm surprised you didn't die, honestly. Yeah. If you want a box of water moccasins, I would assume it's kind of like a death sentence. Because, yeah, they'll kill you very quickly. And especially multiple. You don't want to get hit. You don't want one. I mean, one can kill you. More or less multiple bites. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
So that's family justice. I mean, you know, if you set your sister on fire, you would think you would end up in jail, but this is kind of a backwoods family. Maybe there wasn't even law enforcement anywhere around. Yeah. So they had to take matters into their own hands. And what better way to do it than with snakes, with nature?
The way it would have been handled back then, even if they did know law enforcement, and be like, do you hear what he did? Yeah, what did the dad do? Like, oh, he beat the shit out of him. Oh, well, he had it coming. That's how that would go. It wouldn't be like, he beat the shit out of him. Oh, my God. You know, then they're both in jail. Now I'm just like, oh, well, he had it coming. Which he did. If he beat the if he did set his sister on fire, in that case, I would condone the father being like, you need to learn a fucking lesson. Because you're out of fucking control. And with some people like that, I don't know. You know, I've never been physical in my life. I've never hit anybody. I've never been hit. But if you set my daughter on fire, I don't care if you're my son or not. You're going down, motherfucker. And you will learn a lesson. I mean, that's just fucked up.
Yeah, I don't fault this other brother. He was defending his sister and said, fuck it. It's premeditated, but I'm coming at you, you know?
Oh my God. And this is what built, you know, so many of us, you know, these are the grandparents. These are the parents that we've had. Not all of us had parents like this or grandparents like this, but a lot of people did. And then we wonder today, like, why do we have so much anxiety? Why do we have so much depression? Because a lot of that shit carries forward. If you're living your life and you're in fear that your brothers are going to fucking light you on fire or throw you in a box of snakes, that anxiety you're going to live with for the rest of your life. And should you have children, that anxiety then passes. It doesn't just end with you. It goes on generationally. So your experiences that you have, your traumas that you have do genetically pass on. And it's nature's way of then preparing the next generation for what it may have to deal with. That's how we evolve and such. But so much of these things are completely preventable, and anxiety that one shouldn't have to begin with, because it's all inflicted on each other by each other when it's not needed. And then have 2022 and everybody's like totally fucking stressed out and wondering what the fuck and doing crazy shit. Look back at what Nana and Pappy did. You know? And it's
all
like
all the stories. Yeah.
It's not always just, they worked hard on the farm and then they sat down to the country dinner and grandma made fried chicken and we had fresh milk. No, it's shit like this. I think this is more prevalent than that, quite honestly.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. This is how it was done. You know, now we've got a formal system of justice. Back then you had to handle shit on your own. You just did.
Yeah, it's like I make history idyllic, you know, like the 50s diners and things like that. Like, oh, Elvis, like, and like, look at all the other shit that was going on in society at some of these times, too. We don't like sit like it comes out. It's in documentaries. It's in movies now. But at the 50s diner, you don't like have a bunch of like you don't make it so authentic that, well, OK, this is the white's line and that's the black's line. Like, you want to make it really authentic and see what life was like back then? Let's do some of that shit. And in no way am I saying we should do that, because that's totally wrong. But it ain't authentic, and it's not all fucking ponies and rainbows in the past. But we like to think that, because we don't like to admit our faults or the faults of our parents, and our parents don't like to admit their own faults, and they don't want to admit the faults of their parents. And so we take and pick and choose what history was, and we're real quiet about the fucked up things. And then the future generations don't really realize how fucked up things were. And they're more shocked when they do. Like, how did that ever happen? Well, you know, it wasn't just poodle skirts and hamburgers.
Isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you look at, you know, like Back to the Future, the movie, and you're like, oh, it looks so peaceful and wonderful.
Not if you're black, not if you're of any color, not if you're a woman, not if, you know, it's just like, no, this is, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's just funny how dumb we can be.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of racism, our next one. A few years ago, we had a gathering of my mom's side of the family. We knew our grandma, her mother, and aunt's family, but beyond that, we'd never really met or heard anything about them. She warned us that her Aunt Joyce was a character, but we were totally unprepared for what that meant. We had taken a family photo with my best friend, Marcus, who was the token black kid in my small town growing up. And right off the bat, elderly Joyce says the following. Oh, such a nice picture you sent me, except for the black spot.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
Right. Followed by immediately by, I have some shotguns for sale. You want to see them?
Oh, my God. I have some shotguns for sale. Right after mentioning there's a black person in the photo. I got guns. God.
God. Okay. So she also kept asking my girlfriend at the time if she was cold and where she was from, with the answer being Hawaii, but Joyce appeared very suspicious about that. Later, we realized that Joyce thought my girlfriend was being slutty by not wearing shoes or socks in the house. What? I don't have, right now I'm barefoot.
I'm being a whore right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Joyce also, okay. I say this a lot. Sit down. You're going to need to be seated for this. Mm-hmm. Joyce used to be a professional women's league pitcher and drove around in a massive pickup with a lift kit at the ripe age of 82.
Oh, my God.
God, I hope she has a cigarette hanging off the side of her mouth right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Aunt wow. Joyce is a character. That's for sure. Otherwise known as racist. But yeah. It's. This is an example of where at some point somebody just said, oh, they're from a different generation, and nobody corrects them.
Everybody's just like, yeah, you know, Joyce is a little racist. It's just something we deal with. Oh, my. Get out of my house.
Yeah.
You know, just get out.
There's a lot to be said. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about the company that you keep and the people, whether it's family, whether it's friends or whatever. And my whole life, it's probably why I don't have many friends. I've been very, very particular on that. And and it's not just the way that one would treat me. There's plenty of people who treated me very well, but then I watch how they treat others. And when I see that and it's unacceptable and it's ridiculous and it's in no way I would ever remotely consider treating someone else, but then they come back to me like, oh, then everything's great. I don't want to be friends with that person anymore. I don't even care what our history is. I don't care if like we grew up together and I didn't realize that about you until we're older and then I see a whole different side. I have no problem cutting the cord from almost anyone if need be. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't like to just have acquaintances that are horrible fucking people. It's like the world of politics where like anybody who is anybody that's well-known, they had to like kiss ass to so many people that they probably otherwise wouldn't have anything to do with. And then it comes back to bite you in the ass. Yep. It's like, look who you're friends with. And it's like, whether you're friends or not, the fact that you wanted to stand there and take a picture with that fucker tells me a lot about your character. Like Jeffrey Epstein, for example. I don't care who the fuck you are. I don't care what party you're in. If you sat there and you took a picture with him, you knew what the fuck he was up to. And if you...
There's no way that you didn't know what he was up to.
And if you didn't know the horrid details, you at least had an inkling that this guy's doing this sort of shit. But we're all just like, well, you know, he does that, or maybe, maybe not. And no, but there was a different mindset in even the 90s where this stuff was just... We thought we were current. We thought we were with it then. But I look back on some of that and I go, holy shit, how did we just accept this? But society did. And everything just did. It was, I watched the Woodstock 99 documentary on Netflix the other day. And the horrible way that women were being treated at that festival.
Yeah.
And how they, so many of them almost, I like played into it as well. The women did, where it's like, you do realize like all these horny men here have nothing but intent other than to rape you when you take your clothes off and walk amongst this crowd of people. That's what's going to happen. But there was this weird attitude of anything goes, whatever happens, and everybody's high and drunk, or I don't know. There was a totally different atmosphere that everyone played into, and we were just like, well, that's what happens. That's what happens.
But isn't it also this weird like mob / group mentality that over, that your personal morals would never play along with that? But if you see a bunch of people doing it, you kind of figure, well, maybe it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, and when you're 19, 20, 21, you're still an idiot. We were all idiots at that age. That's anything new. You're young and you're dumb, and you're going to go along with the crowd much easier than you would when you're older. And you put yourself into situations that you don't realize how bad they could get. So I feel horrible, because I think so many of the women that were there were pretty innocent. They came from just smaller middle towns, and then they thought, oh, everybody's peace and fun and naked. And then you hear all these horrific stories of rapes and this and that. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, it's going to be peaceful and lovely. And then that sort of shit went down. Yeah, the mentality was insane. But even beyond something like Woodstock 99, you have R. Kelly, for example. Yeah. Everybody knew he was married to Aaliyah in the 90s. And it was just kind of, it was like hinted at as like a boo kind of a dirty secret on like MTV Raps or something. And it was like, oh, that's wrong. But we all kind of said, oh, okay, well, they're famous. They must know better. Than us. And we had people on these pedestals of, they can do whatever they want, doesn't matter. And then he gets convicted and found innocent, but we all saw a video of him fucking a 14-year-old. And then after that, he had some of the biggest hits of his career. It wasn't like, now we're shunning him and he's gone. Oh, no. The timeline, which I think a lot of young people have no idea about, was not that. We knew he was fucking 14-year-olds. It was on camera and was being sold on the street and it was on the internet and all that shit. And then we still said, oh, let's step in the name of love. and we did. And this music still gets played. And we all know what a fucking monster he is now. But there's something, there was a different place in the culture where some of these things were just like accepted, or some people had passes to it, and it was fucked up.
Especially when somebody is a celebrity, it just turns our way of thinking that they can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And then when they do wrong, we look the other way.
But we used to. Now it's destroy, destroy, destroy. But I don't think we look the other way now. Now I think we dig in and try and almost find shit that they otherwise wouldn't. Like, you said this in 1994.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then people get torn down for that. I mean, we've all said horrible, dumb shit throughout our life. I mean, I don't think I have anything that I ever said on tape that was, you know, horrible. But if I did in the 90s or something, my opinion would be, I was young, I was dumb, and I've evolved. And that's the beauty of life, is you can realize your mistakes and not believe them 20, 30 years later. But nobody wants to give anybody that opportunity half the time, even though they've never lived a life anything other than like on the up and up. But maybe they said something dumb when they were 18. Now it's tear it down. Like, you can just like, look, people evolve. People do dumb shit. And everybody had a microscope on them from that age. You're going to find a ton of shit. I mean, that's what I feel bad for with the younger generation, because all that's documented. I'm so glad life wasn't as documented as it is today when I was a teenager.
Oh, if Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if that had been around when I was a kid, my life would have been completely different.
The amount of stupid shit you say at that age, and you don't mean it, because a lot of times you're going along with a crowd or a group, and that's fucking how people are. But now everything's documented, and everything's going to be looked back upon. And, oh, you feel this way? Like, people are going to be looking at this in 50 years going, well, I said that like in 2001, and I'm 48 now. Like, well, unfortunately, we're not going to.
Yeah, but you said it. Exactly. You said it.
I can only hope the pendulum is swung back to sanity once, you know, that time comes. Because we can't sustain this world of let's find any flaw we possibly can in a human being and completely discredit them and destroy their lives. You can't do that. You just, and it's not just being done on a celebrity basis. People do that on a personal basis with the information that's out there on people. And
no, it's very true.
It's not realistic. It doesn't have context. It's not fair to life. I mean, if one person is walking around doing horrible shit left and right, and it still is, that's another story. Somebody made a dumbass comment when they were 17. People make dumbass comments when they're 17.
All the times. People make dumbass comments when they're 30.
Oh, sure. People make dumbass comments when they're 50, 60 too. But it's a matter of how are they really living their life versus somebody said something stupid. Family decides to spread a grandma's ashes at the beach. What's going on there?
All right. My grandmother passed away about a year and a half ago. She kind of held the family together. So after her passing, we were all pretty torn up about it. The funeral was a nightmare. That's another story, but we made it through. I kind of want to know about the funeral, but we go on. We had her cremated and my grandpa wanted to spread her ashes on the beach, which we all frequently visited as a family. So we plan on spending the day at the beach and at some point spread her ashes that day. My dad, dealing with PTSD and never being a very emotional person, was struggling with this and got very angry about the whole idea for some reason. We go to our regular beach access and hang out for a bit. It's crowded like it normally was. Finally, the rest of my family get there, and my grandpa is carrying several plastic baggies. And upon further inspection, it turns out he had separated my grandma's ashes into plastic sandwich bags for each member of the family to spread on their own. Oh, and he wanted to do it in the middle of the day when everyone was there. So picture a crowded beach.
And everybody's got a baggie of ashes.
Yeah. He goes first and does it along the dunes without attracting any attention. He then continues to passive aggressively urge the rest of us to do it as well and has me go with my aunt to spread our bags, which I'm freaking out about for some reason. My aunt asked my borderline alcoholic uncle to come along with us.
Oh, that's going to be a recipe for fun.
Here we go. He proceeds to down a beer, pop open a new one, and hop along with us. We wait until we get out of the crowd, and my aunt starts grabbing and tossing my grandmother's ashes like confetti on the sand. Uncle still chugging a beer, me gripping onto the bag, coming to terms that my grandmother's body is in a Ziploc sandwich bag. My aunt then notices that ash that she's been throwing has been blowing back onto her legs as she's tossing it, and she chuckles and says, "Damn it, Grandma, even in death, you still won't leave me alone." At this point, my uncle's tossing the ashes by hand as well, and I have only gotten as far as just opening the bag. He also mentions something about hearing how Kurt Cobain or some rock star had snorted his father's ashes after they passed away. Jesus Christ.
It's a good moment to bring that up.
We somehow unanimously decide to move to the water and just dump the ashes there. Well, my aunt is scooping the ashes out with two fingers like it's the last bit of raw cookie dough from a tub. My uncle turns his bag upside down and just shakes it out. I decide to lay the bag on the water and let the waves carry my grandmother's ashes out to sea. Instead, they take our half and the rest becomes this nasty, muddy paste in my bag and I can't get it out until I suck it up and scoop it out. We then walk back in silence for a few minutes and finally start laughing to ourselves about everything that just went on. It was a weird time for everybody. I love my family, though. Oh, my God.
I the thing is, this doesn't seem like an evil family thing. It just almost seems like I could see my family being in this sort of situation comedy experience.
Yeah. You didn't think this through, obviously, that the wind is going to pick up the ashes. If you put the ashes in the water, it becomes that muddy paste. Yeah. This was a great, great email. Just the way that it was described, like she was just, you know, scooping the ashes out with two fingers, like the last bits of raw cookie dough from a tub. Yeah, we've all done that.
It would be like a great YouTube prank or something if you wanted to really upset somebody and probably get your ass beaten to the ground by someone, is to have like the urn of ashes, like make it really obvious it's an urn and nobody could be like be confused as to what the fuck you have. And you're walking through the busy beach and you're like in an area where a bunch of women are sunbathing. And you accidentally trip and the ashes go all over everyone. And they're like, oh my God, that's my grandma. Oh, grandma. My God, grandma. And you just start like trying to scoop them up and all the women are like confused as to what the fuck just happened. Like, what is this? Like, it's my grandma's ashes. Your grandma's all over you. But grandma did like women.
Well, and of course, you know, they're sunbathing. They've got oil on, so it's going to stick to them.
You add that comment in, and you're like, oh, she'd be so happy. Oh, she loved a body. She'd love a body like yours. Really, this is probably making her happy, but I'm so sorry.
You would get your ass completely beat.
Oh, my God. That would be funny and horrible all at the same time.
Wow. What a fun story. I mean, fun story, maybe not, but, you know, at least it ended well. It sounds like they have a pretty decent grasp of who their family is. And yeah, we do some weird shit, but I still love them.
Yeah, I like that. I'm glad I didn't come up with that idea when I was doing Top 40 radio when I was a kid. Because
you would have done that.
I would have. I would have had one of our interns do that. I would have been like, and we didn't have pictures that we were putting up of any of this shit. We would have just done it for the audio, which we could have faked. But I would have had somebody do that. One of the worst things I did, there was a little porn shop that was downtown close to the radio station. And I remember having one of our part-timers, and they had booths in the back. And a booth is where you go in and watch like a movie. This is pre, you know, internet porn. So people, you know, either they had it on VHS or DVD or they went to the porn shop and watched it. And I had him go in there with a Nokia cell phone because that's what we were using. And I had him shut the curtain door. I'm like, okay, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to start making animal noises. So he started making goat noises and he started making sheep noises. Get louder. Do it louder.
This wasn't.
Yeah, it was in Wausau.
Where you and I worked together, was it?
It was in Wausau, and it was fucking hilarious. And then I got a call from the sales manager, Bob, at the time, and he said, "If I ever hear you do something like that on the air again, your ass is gonna be fired."
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, our drunk boss was like, yay. Like, well, who do I listen to here?
You did this. Was this live on the air or did you record it?
Well, I mean, the actual him in the booth I recorded prior to airing it, but it was like between a song. So it was like, you know, we're going to do this in 5 minutes. I did it during a song and then played it back, you know, 5 minutes after he did it to make sure there wasn't any swearing or anything in it.
Oh, my God.
So pretty damn close to live. Yeah, it was fun shit like that that you get away with. But I look back on that today, I'm like, there's no way I would have done that with my thinking today. Because, I mean, it like that's totally like something you get fired over. But it was funny.
How did you not get fired?
I did eventually.
Recollection, I think you just bounced from job to job. I don't recall you being fired.
No, I was fired there. I was fired.
Were you?
Yeah, it was because the owner's son didn't like me. Because
he didn't like me either.
Yeah, and that what happened there was you had corporate coming to me saying, you need to stand up for programming and do what we want, and here's what you need to say to him when he says this. So I did. I did exactly what our higher management said. And then 2 weeks later, I was fired. And I'm like, what did I do? Like, I was doing what you told me to do. And then nobody backed anybody up. It was fucked up. But no, I wasn't fired over anything like that.
You should have been.
Those
you
sort of things.
You should have had the back of your shirt grabbed and literally taken out the door and kicked in the ass with a box of your belongings thrown into the parking lot.
It was good radio. It was very good radio, though. That was great radio. It was so much fun.
You were fucking Howard Stern before your time. Seriously.
I cringe at some of the stuff. I have tapes. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And I play it for my daughter now. And it's like, my daughter's like, in 4 years, she'll be the age I was when I started in radio, which is 14. And I mean, she's already on the air here, and she scares me because she's far better than I was at that age. But it's funny.
Oh, I just love it. I listen to you all the time, which was weird because when you work in radio, you don't listen to radio. Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're off air, you don't want to listen to it.
You know,
you want to hear music, but you don't want to hear other jocks.
Yeah.
And I remember I actually listened to you because you were cutting edge, you were funny, and you were unafraid. You did everything.
It was unafraid or ignorant is the correct word.
Well, in retrospect, yeah.
Arrogant, young, and dumb, I think was really what it was, a combination of. And when you do that, you can create some great radio, but you can create a lot of chaos in your life too, if that's what's going
true
on.
Story.
Well, yeah, no, I had so much fun. And then the crazy thing is, then I was doing that on the night show, and then they like kind of reformatted the station a little bit, and they put me on middays. And I was like,
You're supposed to be a little more mellow, like, quieter.
What am I supposed to do on this? Which it sucked. It was so bored. And then eventually I went to afternoons, but, and I kind of brought everything back out then. But yeah, it was, it was fun.
Good times, man.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you like the program, be sure to give us a review there on Apple Podcasts. And press subscribe wherever you download, and share your stories with us. That's what we would absolutely love for you to do. Just go to crazyfampod.com. It's crazyfampod.com. And you can share your story there, or call 1-833-CRAYFAM. That's 833-272-9326 to share your stories with us. Until next time, for Stacey Cole, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
My. Crazy.
Family.
My
crazy family.
Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there. And sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest, or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAYFAM, or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.